Attitudes about criminal justice change over time in our country. We oscillate between an effort to rehabilitate convicts and return them to society and a desire to lock them up and throw away the key. Either approach requires some thinking and planning and building and spending. And many states have embarked on justice reinvestment, an idea that spending some money up front can avoid putting convicts, all convicts, in prison, and so spending a lot more later. Oregon has been at work on its version of justice reinvestment for several years now. The work is coordinated through the Criminal Justice Commission, or CJC, which is all about making state and local criminal justice systems work better. Michael Schmidt is the executive director of the Oregon Criminal Justice Commission and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
This really begins with trends in prison population, I see. I mean, how fast was the inmate population growing in Oregon a decade ago?
Yeah, exactly right. Well, the numbers that we were looking at that kind of precipitated justice reinvestment was between 2000 and 2010, we saw our prison population in Oregon growing by nearly 50%. So going from less than 10,000 inmates to getting close and then cresting over 14,000 inmates.
All right, that's a pretty precipitous rise. What were some of the forces driving that increase?
You know, it's a large amount of things. Oregon's not unique in seeing this increase. Nationally, the increase was happening the same. It's a mixture of sentencing policies that have changed over time. Like you said, you know, kind of swinging that pendulum from sometimes more of a lock them up sort of mentality for, away from rehabilitation. So there's some of that, but also, you know, population increases, things of that nature. But I will say at the exact same time, crime has been dropping not only in Oregon, but across the entire United States since the 90s. So they were kind of going in opposite directions.
So the prison population was rising while the crime rate was dropping?
That's correct.
Wow. So it sounds like a lot of this might come down to things like Oregon's Measure 11, which required tougher sentences on a lot of crimes, both person and property crimes.
Yeah, absolutely. Sentencing policy played a big role, both for Measure 11, which are violent crimes against persons, but then also other legislative and ballot measures like Ballot Measure 57 that focused on property crimes.
Okay, 57. That was the one I was digging for. Okay, thank you for that. If the increase, Michael Schmidt, had remained unchecked, I mean, if we had stayed with without something like justice reinvestment, what kinds of numbers might we be looking at for both inmate population and the cost to house them all?
Yeah, so we were in, when the legislature was debating in 2013, the justice reinvestment bill, what they saw was that we were going to need a new prison for women by 2015. So we only have one facility in the state that houses women. That's Coffee Creek. And so that was right at its maximum point. So they were going to need to build a new one of those or open an old mothballed prison for women. And then they'd need to build a brand new prison to house men and have it open by February of 2017. So in short order, from where we were sitting, we would need two new prisons online to house the population. And the estimates at the time, just for the male prison, was that that would increase our budget and spending by $500 million over that period.
Which is a good, what, 30% or something?
Yeah, exactly, which is when we were at $1.4 billion operating budget for DOC, going into 2013, quickly putting us on the path to just underneath $2 billion.
All right, so we obviously didn't get a new prison or have to open a mothballed prison. What happened?
Yeah, exactly right. So the legislation passed in 2013, and it did kind of two big things. It took some sentencing changes, and then it created a grant program. And I should say that when the legislation passed, it was one of those moments where you had law enforcement, district attorneys, the sheriffs, the chiefs of police there with the legislators and other folks who were on the reform side. So it was a consensus bill. What happened since is essentially the male population flatlined. We were on that upward trajectory. And instead of continuing to go up and up and up, we've pretty much held flat for the last 5 years. The female population did continue to rise, but more recently, with the passage of another House bill in 2017, that population now is also dropping, and we're forecasting that it's going to continue to drop.
So, Michael Schmidt, is there any way of knowing if the male population would have flatlined without reinvestment? Or is that the trend that was happening with the drop in crime rate?
Well, it's a good question. And so that's one of the things that we really focus on at the commission is measuring the data and outcomes. So what we did is we looked at every county and their traditional prison usage in the property crimes area. And we kind of got a baseline in every county that we would expect them to use that much prison. And so then once we gave the counties grants that targeted keeping people in the community in treatment and getting them housing and increased supervision, we could see in some communities that that trend line was going down. And in some, it dropped pretty dramatically. So I think we can say pretty conclusively that the reason that it stayed flat was because of the work that was being done by the counties in building these justice reinvestment programs and some of the sentencing changes, like short-term transitional leave was one of the sentencing changes in the bill.
Justice reinvestment is the topic here on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking to Oregon Criminal Justice Commission Executive Director Michael Schmidt about how justice reinvestment works. It's been going on in Oregon for several years now, and you can join the conversation on the exchange. 800-838-3760 by phone. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. It sounds like Oregon was moving in this direction anyway, but it seems like there's also federal money out there for justice reinvestment. Did the term and the effort originate at the federal level, or did it start in Oregon?
No, it did. It originated at the federal level. And so Oregon was, like many other states, applied for technical assistance, which we received in the form of the Pew Charitable Trust provided that technical assistance. So they came in 2011 and 12 and kind of guided lawmakers and legislators and policy group members through the process of what an Oregon-specific justice reinvestment program could look like.
How much leeway did you have under the federal guidelines to design your own?
It's pretty tailored to Oregon. One of the things that I get to do is being the director of the Criminal Justice Commission is meet with my peers across the country who are in my position in other states. And many of them have gone through this process, and justice reinvestment in other states looks dramatically different than it does in Oregon. So they all have some kind of same structural bones, which is kind of what you said at the outset in terms of making an investment up front to save much more money on the back. But other than that, it's very tailored depending on your local circumstances.
The term does make sense after you say it enough times, reinvestment, but why is it called reinvestment?
Yeah, it's a good question because you have to make an upfront investment in order to save the downstream costs. But once you kind of get that cycle kickstarted, where you're investing in the local community into the resources that we know will keep communities safe and get at some of the root causes of the crime, then you start to save the money on the back end. And for Oregon, that meant not having to build those prisons, not committing our state to an extra $500 million, and probably more at this point. So now we can take that money that we didn't have to spend, and we would have, and continue the reinvestment into the communities to keep that cycle going.
So how does the program, how has the performance been compared to what the original projections were for reinvestment at its outset in Oregon?
Yeah, you know, obviously the big goals were to not build prisons, so that was, we've achieved those. There was, at the time, thoughts that maybe the prison population would actually decrease, and like I said, it's kind of held flat. So we haven't seen decreases or haven't been any closings of prisons or things like that. So at this point, it's kind of performed in the middle of the road, I think, of where we were hoping that it would go. The biggest hope, of course, was not to have to spend that money to open new prisons. So that's been achieved. But, you know, different communities have really participated more than others. Some of the big counties have really reduced their prison usage in the property crimes area, and some communities really haven't. And so, you know, it's been kind of a middle-of-the-road outcome.
Are there grants out in all 36 Oregon counties?
Yes, all 36 counties are participating in the Justice Reinvestment Program. And so we are almost through our sixth year of grants. And so we'll be restarting that process with the counties coming up in this next biennium. But I will say at the Justice Reinvestment Summit, where the governor kicked off the summit with some comments, you know, one of the things that we are being tasked with at the commission is to really evaluate the communities that have not been able to decrease their prison usage and consider spending the money that would go to them into counties that have been making a difference in the trajectory.
Yeah, I have some questions about the Justice Reinvestment Summit in mid-February coming up in just a bit. We're talking to Michael Schmidt, the Executive Director of Oregon's Criminal Justice Commission, about justice reinvestment, the idea being that some money spent up front on grants to local communities can help divert people from prison, so a lot less money is spent on the back end of the initiative. You can join the conversation on the exchange. Give your thoughts, ask some questions, make some comments about what's been going on. 800-838-3760 to join us by phone, or you can send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. So what kinds of programs, and let's get into some of the nitty-gritty about how some of the grant money gets spent at the local level.
Yeah. So much like how Oregon got to tailor justice reinvestment for Oregon, that's kind of the way we run the grants. So what we do is at the commission is we ask communities, counties to apply and tell us how they believe that using this grant money will achieve the four goals of the Justice Reinvestment Program, which are, one, to decrease your utilization of prison, two, to decrease recidivism rates in your community. Recidivism meaning the folks who are convicted of a crime and then within the next 3 years go on to commit another crime. So decreasing the number of people who commit more offenses after that initial one. The third goal, increasing public safety, and the fourth goal, holding offenders accountable, because this is still about accountability. So what we do is we ask the counties, give us your application. How will you meet those four goals with this additional grant dollars? And so just like nationally, the Justice Reinvestment Program looks different in different states. Locally here in Oregon, in different counties, there have been different focuses.
So is there anything that has been completely different from what's been out there before? I imagine you require a certain amount of, like, you know, some evidence-based stuff. Here's what has worked at other places before. But has anybody come up with a truly innovative program that kind of struck people by surprise?
You know, yeah, there have been. I think there are some bones that are kind of similar in a lot of the communities. And to go to your point about, you know, evidence-based and researched interventions, one of the things that we've seen is having the local community do an assessment, like a risk assessment tool, a needs assessment of the offender up front before you get to the sentencing portion, which enables the court and the people in the court, the district attorney, the defense attorney, and community corrections to have information about if this person wasn't going to be sentenced to prison, what are the things that we would need to wrap around? Is it drug treatment? Is it mental health? Is it both? Frequently, those are co-occurring issues. Housing, pro-social contacts and activities. So they look at all of the different things that could be the root causes of the criminality, and then they feed that information into the sentencing decision so that you're not just saying, well, this is the crime, so that's the sentence, and that's what we're going to do. But it's actually evidence-informed when you get to that point. And then, you know, the judge and everybody else participating has their input. They make the decision. Where should this person go? Can they be safely supervised in the community? And then if so, let's, you know, continue to monitor them, hold them accountable. So that's kind of the bones we see in a lot of communities. But it varies. Different counties have focused on different entry points in the system. So
Michael Schmidt, is there a sense at the moment in criminal justice that it probably is better for offender and community if the person, where possible, is confined or at least served their time or whatever their obligation is closer to home?
There's research to support that, absolutely. That, you know, some of the things that keep people from committing more crimes is having community, family support, community support, having pro-social contacts, being surrounded by good people who are doing the right things. So that is absolutely, you know, has been well researched that breaking off those connections and isolating people is not helpful in terms of their future criminality. So, yeah, keeping people locally and getting at the root causes of what got them there in the first place, you know, is where the research and the evidence is going.
This brings us back to the needs assessment of the offender, and this comes into the sentencing equation. So did House Bill 3194, the Oregon Justice Reinvestment Act, did it modify the Oregon sentencing guidelines? Because I remember covering court cases in the 90s that judges' hands were pretty well tied. This offense meant that sentence.
Yeah, it changed some sentences slightly in terms of what the number of prison months that they would have to do would be for certain crimes. So it didn't change the guidelines to say you must or you shall include a risk assessment or risk needs assessment in your figuring out what the sentence should be. That is kind of more on the front end. District attorneys have the ability to, underneath ballot measure 57, to agree to a sentence that's less than prison. And so what is happening in the communities using the risk and needs assessments is you have district attorneys and their deputies who are participating in the process before sentencing, taking that information, and then being willing to, you know, incorporate the findings of that risk and needs assessment and consider people for probation. So it's really kind of on the front end, and that part of the system rests really largely on the DA's shoulders, whether or not they're willing to do that.
So where does the money come from for Justice Reinvestment Oregon style, and so how big would any of the individual grants be to any of the counties or cities?
Yeah, so it's to the counties. We work with the County Local Public Safety Coordinating Council in each county, known as the LPSC. And so they are the grantees. They are the ones who write the applications. In this biennium, the legislature invested $47 million of general fund dollars. So those are state general fund dollars. And then all 36 counties are, you know, eligible for that money. And it's how much they're eligible for is based on a formula of how many felon offenders they have in their community. So obviously Multnomah County is eligible for the most amount of money, having approximately 20 to 21% of the state's felon offender population just by virtue of the size. And then all the way down to some of our smaller communities like Lake County, where we kind of set a floor. You can't go below $100,000. So the smallest communities are still eligible for a baseline of $100,000.
So what was that number again? 21% of the state prison population comes from Multnomah County?
21% of the offender population, so people on supervision, probation, it's about 21% are from Multnomah County.
We're talking about justice reinvestment here on the Jefferson Exchange with Oregon Criminal Justice Commission Executive Director Michael Schmidt. It's about some money spent up front in the criminal justice process in the hope of not spending a whole lot on the back end with people in prison for year after year after year. You can join the conversation on the Jefferson Exchange, 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. How much public input went into either the original bill or into some of the grant requests under justice reinvestment in Oregon?
Yeah. The original bill was a little bit before me, but, you know, my understanding is Governor Kitzhaber at the time had convened a public safety commission or a committee to review possible options to not have to build prisons. And that was over a year-long process that had kind of all the major law enforcement associations, but also community groups that were very invested. So I think that had a lot of input. And then, of course, it went through the legislative process. The grants, like I said, are applied for by the local public safety coordinating commissions or councils. And so every county has one of those. And if, you know, you were interested in what your community invests this money in, that's the place to go sit at the the Lipsick table and hear about the investments that are being made. And so it just depends county by county how robust their Lipsicks are. Some of them are very large, all the way. I've seen Lipsicks as big as having somewhere around 30, 40 people on them, and some of them are pretty small. So it just depends in terms of community input, but there's definitely an opportunity. Those are public meetings. Every county has to have one statutorily for people to get involved and find out exactly how their grant dollars are being spent.
So it sounds like there's a fair amount of enthusiasm that things have been doing, have gone as people had hoped they would. For example, we haven't had to increase prison capacity in Oregon because the male population in particular has leveled. The women population, as you point out, still rising a bit, but haven't had to build a new prison or reopen a mothballed one. But $47 million is not a huge amount of money yet. You know, it's since it's from general fund, as you pointed out, it competes with a lot of other priorities. So is there any concern in the current legislative session or off into the future that you'll have difficulty funding justice reinvestment?
You know, that was one of the concerns right at the very beginning, and understandably so, because, you know, we were essentially asking communities to build local infrastructure for things like treatment and housing and even jail space, because you need a functional jail to be able to keep people locally on probation. And that was one of the things that we were told is like, hey, how do we know that this money is going to be there in the future? You know, if we're hiring people, if we're building things, we need to make sure this is sustainable funding. And of course, it's, you know, it's up to the legislature. It's every 2-year process we go for this. But I'll tell you, in 2013, the program was funded at $15 million of general fund. In the 15-17 biennium, the legislature increased it to 38.7. And like I said, in this biennium, they increased it even more to $47 million. And what we've seen, I mean, we just had the Justice Reinvestment Summit. Mm-hmm. It was the third one because we throw one every 2 years.
Right. So I have to cut you short here, but it appears that the success is certainly factoring in here. $47 million this biennium. We'll see what comes in the coming biennium. Oregon Criminal Justice Commission Executive Director Michael Schmidt, thank you.